All right, if you want to finish your point, then I would like to ask a question in relation to that. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so now what we're doing is we're doing a little investigating. Now, what is the prohibition of blood in the 613? Now, in the 613, you have a definite prohibition of blood in Leviticus, where it says you shall not consume the blood, and the blood is the life of the animal, which is biologically true, of course. The blood is the thing that supplies the very life of the animal. The heart is really just a pump, and it pumps the blood around. The blood is what does all the work for it, keeps all the cells alive, supplying oxygen, taking away poisons, etc., etc. So the Torah makes this point that the blood is the lifeline of the animal, and you're not permitted to drink the blood. However, this point is made for a Ben Israel, not a Ben Noah. Now, the question we're raising is the blood considered a part of the animal, or does this come under a separate prohibition? Because if it comes under a separate prohibition, so then it's not considered part of the animal. Okay? And if it's not considered part of the animals, then when we go back to the law, to the Noahide law, where you say you shouldn't take a limb of an animal, it wouldn't include blood, it's not a part of the animal. So we have to discover whether blood is considered a part of the animal or not. Okay. Now, fortunately, we have a way of discovering this, because, as I said before, at first sight you'd say, well, you can't discover this because there is a violation against blood anyways. So maybe it is part of the animal, but then there could be another violation added to it. You'll ask me a question, well, why would it be necessary to add another violation? The answer is because it is a more serious sin to eat to consume the blood of, let's say, for instance, a non-kosher animal. If one consumes a non-kosher animal, his violation is not as severe as if he consumes the blood of the non-kosher animal. Again, in the case of the kosher animal. If the animal is kosher, so then the Ben Israel can eat the animal. If blood is part of the animal, he'd be able to drink the blood. So you must have a violation for blood. There's no question about that. But now our question is blood considered part of the animal or not? Now there's a way, fortunately there is a way to discover this. And that is from the case, specific case. And that case is, I'm using Maimonides' approach, and that case is the case of human flesh. Question is one permitted to consume human flesh? Of course, one is not permitted to kill another human. But let us say, for instance, you had the case recently where these survivors in the Andes, their fellow men died, and they consumed their flesh. Is that a would that be a Torah violation? Now, the answer is that even for a Ben Israel, even under the system of the 613, okay, there is no negative commandment against eating human flesh. Nachmanides maintains that there is no positive commandment either. However, we're going with Maimonides' view, as I said before. Maimonides maintains a positive commandment against consuming human flesh. In other words, by positive commandment, it says as follows, because the Bible says, this you shall eat, and it points to the various species. So Maimonides says that this means to the exclusion of everything else, and it's to the exclusion of a human being. Okay? So according to Maimonides, a human being is prohibited for a Ben Israel. He cannot consume the flesh of a human being, of the dead, unless, of course, it's a matter of survival, then he can do anything. But if it's not a matter of survival, he's not allowed to consume the flesh of a human. Now, however, with regard to the blood of a human being, Maimonides states quite clearly that blood does not come under any Torah violation. So from the formulation of Maimonides, it is quite clear that blood is not considered a component, a part of the animal. Okay? Now, if it were part of the object itself, so then you could not differentiate, in the case of a human being, between his blood and his flesh. Because when you say human being, you'd mean everything that's part of that organism. But you see that the blood, according to halacha, has a separate status, and it's not considered as the flesh. Okay, that being the case, let's take that information and now come back to our piece of the Talmud. Now, with that information, we see that we would side with which position based upon that information? We would side with the position that the blood would be permitted, because just like with regard to all other animals, not only man, but with regard to all other animals, actually, blood requires a separate prohibition. It's not included generally. It's not considered part of the organism. So an organism can be prohibited, but the blood could be permissible, as in the case of a human being. That being the case, we would have to side with the position that maintains that blood is permissible in the case of the Ben Noah, where he removes a if he should remove blood from the animal during its lifetime, it would not come under that prohibition. Okay? So that would explain the side. You see, what we try to do in understanding a Talmudic debate is we try to understand one side at a time. That would explain clearly the side that states that blood is permissible, does not come under the prohibition. Now, if you remember, that's a little bit counterintuitive, because when I raised the question before, I'm sure everybody would say, well, blood has to be prohibited as well. But we see that our intuition in areas where we don't have any knowledge is not really too reliable. So the same thing is true in Talmud, that our intuition is based on the knowledge of the facts, so therefore we just go into an emotional intuition. Emotional intuition is not very helpful when it comes to studying a science or an area of knowledge. So again, in this case, when you take a look at the information, you find that blood is classified as a separate substance. Since it's a separate substance, it would not be included in the prohibition of against eating the limb of the animal. The limb is flesh. It would not mean it's blood. Okay? So we understand the side that maintains the blood is permissible. I'm going to stop right here in order to give David a chance to raise a question.
I think that maybe we need to just go let you finish before I pose any, because I've got a couple of questions on that would go back to the very foundation. I'm sure you're going to deal with it. For instance, I would say how God gave animals, if I'm not to eat the limb of a living creature, how do I eat an animal?
Okay, I'm going to get into that.
Yeah, that's what I figured. And then what about the blood? It says here that Rabbi Gamliel said not to partake the blood drawn from a living animal, but what about the blood from a dead animal?
Okay, right.
And you're probably going to deal with that too.
Well, the blood from a dead animal is definitely not under the prohibition. There's no question about that.
Okay.
There's no question about that. Okay, we're going to get into a little later. We'll get into the question of a dead animal. But the dead animal does not come under the prohibition. If the animal dies... But I want you to understand something. When I say if the animal dies, it means if the animal dies before the limb is removed. If the limb is removed first, even if the animal subsequently dies, it will not make that limb permissible. In other words, once the object is prohibited, it will always remain permanently prohibited. So it doesn't matter whether the animal dies later. But if the animal dies first and then the limb is removed, then there is no prohibition. Okay. So let me just move along. Now, what I would like to do is, in order to explain the other side, what I'd like to do is go to a case which is perhaps a bit unusual in halacha, but it is a case where the Ben Noach's law is more severe than the Ben Israel. Now, ordinarily, this is not the case. As you understand, there's 613 laws for the Ben Israel, and there are seven, or 25, 30, whatever, I'm not going to give an exact number. There are various opinions on that. But there are certainly the basic seven. Okay, the basic seven. Now, the question is, the point I want to make is there is a case where the law for the Ben Noach is more severe than the law for the Ben Israel. And I'll give you the case. Let us say, for instance, an animal is being slaughtered. Now, ritual slaughter, according to halacha, is a very quick, sharp incision with a super sharp knife that doesn't even have a nick in it that's discernible to the human senses. So this slaughter is what makes the animal permissible. In other words, the moment the animal is slaughtered, then it is permissible to eat the flesh. Now, there is a question. The question is as follows. Sometimes, even after an animal is slaughtered, there is a moment where it might still be breathing. It might still be gasping. Now, if that should happen, the question is, theoretical question, would one be permitted to, if one would remove a piece of flesh at that time, is that permissible or not? Okay. Now, you have to understand this. The question is purely a theoretical one. It's not because anybody wants to do that in the law. So you have to understand the law. We must know all the ramifications. Now, therefore, we raise every possible question. So the question is, if one would remove flesh after the slaughtering process takes place, but while the animal is still visibly moving, would that piece of flesh be permissible or not? And the answer is like this. For the Ben Israel, it's permissible. For the Ben Noah, it's not. Question is why? And the reason is that for the Ben Noah, it would be the removal of flesh during the animal's lifetime. Whereas for the Ben Israel, since for him the slaughtering is what makes it permissible, not the dying, so if there should be a moment, it doesn't make any difference, because the moment the act of slaughtering takes place, since according he has a certain halachic reality of slaughtering, and since the moment that slaughtering takes place, the animal is permissible for the Ben Israel, because slaughtering is a halachic institution which gives the permit for eating for the Ben Israel. So in the Ben Israel system, this animal has already had the required permit. Okay? Now, however, let's take a look at the Ben Noah system. The Ben Noah system is that the permit is death. Therefore, since the animal is still alive, it still is breathing. There's that fraction of a moment where it might still be alive. So then, the Ben Noah would not be permitted to eat the flesh that was removed during that moment. Of course, for the Ben Noah, the permit is death, not slaughtering. In other words, for the Ben Noah, slaughtering is not an institution which gives him a permit. It is the death that gives him the permit. Now, it is theoretically possible in certain cases, rare cases, but it is possible for the animal to be alive after slaughtering and for a moment or so, and then it will die. So the flesh removed during that moment precisely would be prohibited for the Ben Noah, and it would be permissible for the Ben Israel. That's one of the rare cases in halacha where the Ben Noah's law is more severe than the Ben Israel's. Practically always it's the reverse. But this case, because of the logical formulation of what is the permit insofar as the Ben Israel is concerned, and what is the permit insofar as the Ben Noah is concerned, because of that logical formulation, you can have a case where the Ben Noah will be prohibited to eat the flesh and to eat the meat, and the Ben Israel will be permitted. Okay? All right. Now, I brought that case in order to bring up a point. My point is this. The question that we could raise is, when the Torah prohibited the limb from the...
Rabbi?
Yes.
We need a point of clarification.
Okay,
this
go ahead.
This is from the peanut gallery.
Go ahead.
Does animal mean only land type? Fish or mammals out of H2O move, but once out of their domain, are they dead? Is it same for Ben Israel and Ben Noah?
That's the same for Ben Israel and Ben Noah, that the removal of the limb from an animal does not relate to every creature. It is specifically for the land animal and a land animal, which would mean the domesticated animal, the wild animal and the birds. Okay? But it does not apply to fish. The law does not apply to fish. It's an interesting thing. Now that you mention that, I'll bring up another point. That with regard to fish, the blood of fish is viewed differently than the blood of an animal. As we said before, the blood of an animal is considered as a separate component, whereas the blood of fish is really considered part of the fish itself. Okay? So it's a... You have to know which animals you're discussing. The higher animals have a different... are viewed differently than the lower animals. Okay, so the law of the prohibition is only for the higher animals, not for the lower ones. Now, getting back to this point, the reason why I brought up this case is because right now we could raise a theoretical question, and the question is as follows. The question is, when the Torah said that you're not allowed to take the limb of an animal that was removed during its lifetime and eat it, what for the Ben Noah, what does that mean? Is that a specific restriction? Or does it mean that an animal is not permitted to be consumed at all? There is no permit to think of the animal until it dies. Okay? You can construe it in two ways. It could be a very specific law, in which case what you're saying is that the limb of the animal that is removed from the animal during its lifetime is prohibited. That's one way to fight the law. The other way is simply that death is the permit, that death is what makes the organism permissible to eat. Before death, I think of that organism. Two possible formulas. Now, here is where the theoretical question exists. Now, if we say that the prohibition is against the limb of the animal in specific, so then we would say it is a prohibition against the flesh of the animal, because as we said before, blood is considered something different. If we say that death is the permit which allows man to partake of the organism, then it would be inclusive of everything in the organism, which would include the blood as well. Okay? So we have two possible concepts here when we approach this prohibition of the limb which is removed from the animal. Is the concept that it's a prohibition against a limb? If that be the case, then we would have to equate it with all other prohibitions in the Torah, which are in the 613, which when these prohibitions are formulated, they formulated with regard to flesh separately, with regard to blood separately, okay? But there's another way to construe it. We can understand it to mean simply that every animal for the Ben Noah must, in order to consume that organism, you must have the permit of death. Death, when it takes place, it's a halachic permit to consume that organism. If that is the theory, if that is the formula, then you understand that that would be inclusive of everything that is included in the organism, which would include the blood as well, not just the flesh. Okay? So we have two ways of viewing it, according to halacha. And that is why we have this debate between these scholars. Because one view was that the prohibition is very specific against the removal of the limb. That being the case, it wouldn't include the blood, because blood requires a separate formula. The second position was, no, it's not a specific against removal of a limb. The law is that an organism, until it dies, is prohibited. The moment of death is the moment which makes everything permissible. So if that's the case, if a person would take blood during the lifetime of the animal, that would also be a prohibition, because you are removing part of the organism before it died. Nothing is permitted until you have that event of death. The death event makes that organism permissible. That's basically the law of removing the limb. According to that view, it's not a law against, not a prohibition against eating a limb. It's a prohibition against The prohibition is that death is the permit. You cannot consume any part of that organism until you have that permit of the event of death. So the event of death is a halachic permit. Now, if that's the case, if it's a halachic permit, it would be a halachic permit on everything that is part of the animal as well. So therefore, the blood would be included in the prohibition. So here we have two different views of the scholars. And these are two theoretical positions. You could formulate it either way, and either way will be completely consistent with all the other information that we have from the oral law. And it's a matter of which theory the particular scholar considers to be the correct one. This is, we don't know. The Talmud doesn't go into the mind of each scholar. So we can't know what prompted each one to believe that his theory is the correct one. But what we do know is that both, there is no information that would contradict either one of these theories. So each scholar has the right to function according to his opinion, to state his opinion and to function according to his opinion. Until they get together and they at a court and they take a vote on it, then it's a different story. But before that time, each one has a right to follow his opinion. So here we've explained this argument between the us. That explains that one addition. But it also removes the problem of how come the opinion that maintains that blood is prohibited is not considered as if it's an eighth commandment. And the reason for that is, as we've explained before, because he maintains that the entire organism is prohibited until you have an event of death. So according to him, that's really part and parcel of the law of removing a limb. According to him, it's not the idea of removing the limb. The idea is the death event never took place, which would make an organism permissible. And if the organism is not permissible, any part of the organism is prohibited, which would include the blood as well. Okay, let me just see if there are any questions at this point. I mean, this session I know has been a very theoretical one. So if there are any questions, I'll be glad to them.
I think everyone is pretty much with you. I don't see any hands going up.
Okay.
I don't know if you're going to deal with this later. If you are, you can. But you've talked a lot about the dying animal and the dead animal, but you haven't determined precisely when the animal dies as far as the non-Jew is concerned. You did for Ben Israel, but you didn't for Ben Noach.
Okay. Okay. According to the for the Ben Noah, it would be the moment that the breathing in the heart stops. Okay, it's the moment that there's no more heartbeat and there's no more breathing. That would be the death according for the Ben Noah. This of course involves a very big question when in halacha when it comes to today's advanced medicine. What is the death? When is the death of a human being? If you put a human being on a heart and lung machine, so then they keep on breathing, and they could be brain dead, but they will still keep on breathing. And if the definition is based upon breathing, so then the person is still alive. But that is a completely separate issue. With animals, we don't put them on a heart and lung machine, so we don't have this kind of a problem. So death means the moment it stops breathing and there's no heartbeat. Now let's get to now let's just go a little bit further in the Talmud, and let's take the next question. Okay, next question is Rabbi Chitki says, even on destroying the organs of procreation in an animal. Now the question is, where did this come from? Okay. There is another one that I'm going to skip over the next one about sorcery, because sorcery, again, I think you'll be able to answer sorcery yourself. The question is, how could Rabbi Simon say even sorcery? All right, and the reason is very simple, because obviously, according to Rabbi Simon, the sorcery is an extension of idolatry. All sorcery, all magic, anything at all which causes a person to believe in any force besides God, any non-material force besides God, a spiritual kind of force, is idolatry. So we understand very well that all these things that are prohibited in the Torah, the sorcery and the things that are mentioned in the Bible, all those things are basically extensions of idolatry, and they come from the same emotional source that idolatry comes from. With idolatry, the Torah has set certain limits, and the question would be, is the Ben Noah involved? Are his limits the same as the Ben Israel, or are his limits different? That's really the question here among the scholars. So the prevailing opinion is that the Ben Noah is limited to the major violation of idolatry, which means actually setting up an idol and worshiping it, a physical form and worshiping it. But if he does magic and sorcery, philosophically, of course, he's removed from God. He's on a low level. But that is not one of the seven. And of course, if I would ask you again, which opinion would you side with? So at first glance, you'd say, well, of course, the opinion that includes all those other things as well. Because let's face it, the sorcery, magic, and all those things are basically the same emotional source as idolatry. You believe in a different force, different kinds of mysterious supernatural forces. So why should the Ben Noah have with regard to that? I mean, that's a normal question to raise. We would say, if just like the Ben Israel is prohibited from all forms of idolatry, even minor ones, so too should the Ben Noah. But the answer to that question is, if you recall, we said we explained.
Rabbi,
yes.
You got, and I'm serious this time, about 1 minute.
Okay, I'll take it.
Okay.
Okay. If you remember, the seven laws are really one entity. And the violation of any of those laws, the reason why there's a death penalty for any of those laws is because that is the most basic system which entitles a human death. So therefore, the other scholar maintains it cannot be included in a basic system. It's true that it's wrong, but you cannot give a person a death penalty because he followed magic. It's wrong, but it's not part of the basic system. So those are the two sides with regard to magic and sorcery. And we'll continue with regard to the other ones. Okay.